Hour number three, chasing Big Joe, 102.5, the game on this Wednesday. Big Joe has left the building. He's headed to Murfreesboro. Get ready to call the Blue Raiders in Missouri State later on this evening. You can hear that starting at 5 on 93.3. So Dr. Crane's in the saddle with me for the rest of the way. The Titans practice wrapping up. Whenever Cam Ward goes to the podium, we will air that for you probably around 2:30-ish. Did you see the news earlier about an hour or so ago that the Titans have signed kicker Matthew Wright to the practice squad? He was 4-for-4 in two games for the Titans in 2024. In his career, he's appeared in 29 games. He's 55-of-63, which is 87.3% on field goals, 7-of-11 beyond 50 yards. They have brought in some insurance for Joey Sly. I think if he doesn't hit that game winner on Sunday, Joey Sly is already gone. I think he would have been cut.
Yeah, we're looking at different options at the kicking position. Not we. Hang on, let me step back here. Not a we. It's a them thing. No, the Titans definitely.
It's not us. It's them. They're looking at him. You know, they got to get a kicker.
They're big leg, small leg.
Big leg. Joey Sly is a nice guy. Looks like he'd win in a bar fight, but he can't kick.
Yeah, he has some biceps for sure.
That was a little Godfather.
That was. Had a little raspiness to it. That was pretty good. But no, to the main point, the Titans definitely are struggling at that position, even though he made the game-winning field goal. There are some – I guess you could put not all of it on Joey Sly, because the first 2 weeks it was more of Brian Callahan's decision-making offensively to put him in those rough positions of kicking those 60-plus and long 50-yard field goals that end up, you know, weeding off to the left or right. I think if the Titans can just get in a better, I guess, position to score in a field goal position, that is, then I don't think Joey Sly's in the yips category for kicking.
Yeah. So I think that's an interesting storyline to kind of look at, that they have brought in another kicker just in case. But we'll see. I don't think Joey Sly is going to be here the whole season.
Really?
I mean, no. I mean, if he misses some key kicks this weekend, I think he's gone.
Yeah, you're toeing the line a little bit, because, like, if you're the kicker for the Titans and Joey Sly, you're missing field goals, which is bad on your part. But if you're somebody looking at the draft for the future, oh, man, we lost another game, but that could kind of bode well for you in the long run. It's a catch-22 situation. You win and you lose at the same time. I don't know. But to bring in another kicker like that, it's more of a competition battle for Joey Sly to just get his head right. Because we've heard on these airwaves before previously that you bring in a guy to either kick or punt with you, it's more of just a competition to just tell the staff that you still got it for the most part.
You still got it. So the Titans will take on the Raiders this weekend, looking to make it back-to-back wins, which they have not done since 2022. I think it was the Packers win on Thursday night, the game before that, whatever that was the last time that they have had back-to-back wins, and then the infamous Thursday night playing game when they came back. That's the last time they have had back-to-back wins. So what needs to happen for them to do that? I think if they can take the good parts of the fourth quarter, especially that last drive. I mean, look, there are still concerns in my mind, Nick, that about the accuracy issues with Cam Ward. Yes, the receivers have got to catch the ball. And I wonder if some of the dropsies has kind of played with his head a little bit, and he's trying a little too hard. So maybe he's putting a little too much on the ball, or too little on the ball. He's got to find that right touch. I do feel like he throws it pretty hard, but they got to catch it. And so that's big, a big part. Tim Hasselbeck talked about that yesterday. But he's got to get more consistent in putting the ball to his receivers. If they do that, the way the Raiders are playing and the way Geno Smith has played, I do think, and the defense, comes up with some big stops like they did last week. I mean, the defense wasn't perfect by any means, especially earlier in the game, but they made some stops, late in the game. Then they could go in there and win back-to-back. But I think again, we're still playing with a lot of what-ifs.
Yeah, and you mentioned Cam Ward throwing the ball, if it's soft or hard, whatever it may be, to the wide receivers. To me, it solely is based on the offensive line play. You go back and look at week one and week two, how Cam Ward was dissecting defenses, and he was getting compliments after the game saying, man, you guys have a really good quarterback. It was against the Rams and the Broncos. Both of them were saying, you got a really good quarterback that can dissect our defenses. You got something here. But when you look at that and you say the offensive line play was not great in those games, and you go previously looking at this past Sunday against the Cardinals, Ali Udoh playing right tackle and obviously Dan Moore Jr. on the left side, when you have your two anchor points on the offensive line that are actually contributing and giving Cam Ward some time, it's almost as if, and you made a great point about it, is that he's trying to, I guess, work in his brain that I need to take a little bit off on this throw or put a little bit more on the throw. It's to the point where there's too much going on in his brain. So I think if he just sets a reset button, watches some tape from Denver, and then goes in and says, you know what, I can do this. Go on with a little more confidence and throw the ball a little bit more. And I wouldn't make the adjustment of bringing J.C. Latham back this week, because if you're going up against a team that's 1-4 like the Las Vegas Raiders, it gives more opportunity for Ali Udoh to mature as a swing tackle where you can put him on the left or right side.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Does anybody believe that they can go out to Vegas and win this weekend? Because I think even after a not pretty lucky win is exactly what it was. I'm not denying that. But does that extra confidence make you confident that the Titans can go out there and get a win? I'm not there yet. I mean, I need to – there's a lot more that I need to see. Now, if Latham's back, that helps. I'll say another thing. Jim DK was named the special teams player of the week. That dude's going to score soon. And I even like some of the plays that they put him in at receiver. I think return guy is kind of his bread and butter right now. But like, I think he's going to find the end zone soon.
Yeah, and with an increased role in offense, I think it gets him better accustomed to just getting more reps on the field, and you become more comfortable with the shoulder pads on. And if you end up using those jet sweeps with him on a consistent basis, being on the offense, I think it opens up the defense to be playing more of a base, and to the point where they can have to stay true to who they're, you know, defending in some aspects. You could say it's man or, you know, a small short coverage, something like that. But if you add Chim Dike to the equation, it keeps the defense on their toes and it opens up the back end of it.
I would need to go back and watch his plays again. He was targeted 5 times. He only had 2 catches against Arizona for 17 yards. I think one of them was a bad throw, and then I think he did have a drop. So, I mean, again, you got to kind of look at everything in context. But he's a good fourth-round pick right now, I think. I mean, especially – look, as much trouble as this team has had with a return game, if they all of a sudden it looks like they have their return guy, then to me that's worth a fourth-round pick.
Absolutely. And as long as you have that young core continuing to develop this season, like we all know they're not making the Super Bowl, just continually to develop is all you need out of these late-round picks. Right now, Femi Oladejo, I understand he's a second-round pick. I know I'm jumping to the defensive side of the ball here, but you need to see a little bit more production out of him, because Jake and I mentioned it on Tuesday. There's nobody else besides him in the following years to come.
Yeah.
So if you can get good production out of those late rounds, and also including Femi into this equation, because I think he was a little bit of a stretch of a pick in the second round, you just need to see more of that.
I would agree. Femi's been a disappointment to this point, and I was afraid that that's how it was going to be, because I don't know. That one could pay off in the future, but right now that's a reach on a second rounder, I think, but we'll see. Kuharski says, Legarius Sneed, Tony Pollard, Tyler Lockett didn't practice today due to rest, so non-injured. So starting to see some things coming out with the practice report. So we'll see if Latham was out. I would assume he would have put Latham in that tweet. So I guess Latham was out there, if I'm inferring that correctly. But because Brian Callahan said earlier today that things were looking positive, I think is the word that he used, about J.C. Latham. So we'll continue to watch that. And coming up next, I do want to address the player that was waived yesterday, because I saw some interesting things on Twitter and just finally putting a bow on that chapter with the Titans. You're welcome to weigh in as well, 615-737-1025. 102.5 presented, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chase and Big Joe on this Wednesday, 102.5 The Game.
Hey, Traylon, congratulations. Welcome to Nashville, and welcome to the Tennessee Titans. We're excited to have you. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow. You're going to love it here.
That was Amy Adams Strunk welcoming Traylon Burks to the Tennessee Titans. I don't know if she called him again to tell him good luck, but he was waived again yesterday. He's officially off IR. The Traylon Burks era is over with the Titans. And I thought it was interesting. I saw some people on Twitter, back here on Chase and Big Joe, I saw some people on X, Twitter, saying, I mean, at this point, what do you got to lose? You know, do you bring him back? Do you play him? Nah, let him go. I hope he gets – I bet he signs with a practice squad somewhere else. He needs a change of scenery, and it's just time to move on and close that chapter. It didn't work. He's a bust. Hopefully he has, you know, rebounds and has a better career. But his time here is done, so move on.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because we all thought this could be the A.J. Brown replacement, and, I mean, the play arc kind of was when he was at Arkansas, but obviously John Robinson didn't hit on that one. It wasn't a home run.
Nope.
But unfortunate for Traylon. Maybe he finds another team. If there's any team right now that needs wide receiver play, I'd probably say it'd be San Francisco or I don't know. You never know.
I think somebody will bring him on a practice squad.
Maybe Dallas?
Could, yeah. The CD's out. I mean, yeah, maybe. But, I mean, the expectation is you see what he's got, but he's got to stay healthy. He can't – that's the problem. He was having a good camp, and then he got hurt again.
Yeah, the collarbone thing, unfortunately. I mean, if he doesn't hurt his collarbone and it's a minuscule injury – I think they give him another shot. A whole collarbone, you know, trying to get back from that, it's just not a good sign.
Tyrone Davenport has the practice updates for Wednesday. This is what he said. J.C. Latham, Bryce Oliver, returned to practice. So they were both out there. No sign of Arden Key, Jeffrey Simmons, Blake Hance, who's out with a shoulder, James Lynch with a shoulder. Key left Sunday's game with a thigh injury as well. And then I already mentioned some of the other players that were out with a rest day. But J.C. Latham, back at practice. We'll see what the injury report says later today. But, man, if they have him back.
It's huge.
I think that would be really big.
I think that means Cam Moore can finally stay a little bit more consistent in the pocket. Not all these off-script plays have to happen anymore. You know, PK even asked about that a few days ago, was, you know, what can you do to kind of eliminate that? And it's primarily just keeping a clean pocket.
Well, and the other thing, too, is the offensive line had their best day in 3 years. I mean, if we're just being honest. They had a really good day. If they can continue that and you add Latham back to the mix – then all of a sudden we could be having different conversations because the interior line did really well. Dan Moore had a good day. And if Cam has time, you know, now he still takes too much time. You know, I was standing there watching, especially in the fourth quarter, and I'm going one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, go. Like, get rid of it. If it ain't there, it ain't there. You know, see what you have for, you know, if you can get 2 or 3, 4 yards with your legs, then take it or get out of the pocket and throw it away. I mean, but he's got to learn that. And look, on some of those plays, the receivers weren't getting open. Like, there were several times they pointed out on the broadcast that there wasn't anything there. There wasn't even a check down. Like, there was nothing. So you have to, as a quarterback, you kind of have to have that in, like, you got to know when you're defeated and it's not there. I love the moxie of wanting to make a play, but if one isn't there, then you need to take the L and live to fight another day.
Yeah, and I think bringing Tajay Spears back in the fold with all of this, you can kind of open up more of that opportunity of, if there's nothing there, we can do a check down to him. And or if you put Pollard and Spears in a set with them in the backfield, then there you go. You have two options to check down to instead of just one.
Yeah, which I think that could be a really good strategy. I mean, I want to see more of that. I understand, like, you need the basic stuff to work first and then start working in some of the, you know.
The fun stuff.
The fun stuff.
I do like how Bo Hargreaves is calling plays for the most part. It's a little breath of fresh air.
He had a better week this week.
Yeah, it was definitely a better week. I think for Brian Callahan's sake as a head coach, it's taken off a lot of pressure on his shoulders. And this is a question I don't want to pivot to, but I'll just ask you right now. Do you think Brian Callahan can kind of talk himself or, I guess, coach himself back into a head coaching position with the Titans next season?
Oh, I'm not ready to go that far yet.
Really?
I'm still of the belief he's not the head coach next year.
Right, but if they win seven games.
If they win. And look, if you remember, let's go to Cam Ward's up. Let's go to Cam Ward.
Got to try to keep it as similar as it does every week, or how do you guys approach it maybe coming out the first one of the year?
Really the same. Got to get better. We still have a lot to, you know, just prove to ourselves just with execution standpoint, offensively and defensively. Then we still got to get a lot more wins.
How do you feel about what you were able to do or not do in the Cardinals game after you got a chance to watch some of it back?
Just a lot of easy stuff that I miss personally, especially me and the receiver corps as a unit. A lot of times just really just ball placement where I need to put the ball to make it a more catchable ball for them and a runner's ball for them, put them on their chest, let them turn the field and get some yak. So just continue to, you know, be accurate and then all of us taking accountability and trying to get better every day.
What did you guys feel in those last? I mean, you went from those first 10 drives really not accomplishing a whole lot, the last three. You guys are moving the ball with ease. What did you feel changed?
I just think we executed, honestly. From myself going to the right place with the ball to everybody on the offensive line doing their job, which they did the whole game, and the receiving room, us connecting on, you know, our intermediate, our short game, and our deep shots. I think just everything just flourished on those drives, and we just got to have more drives like them.
What's the key to making it translate for four quarters instead of one quarter like it did Sunday?
Not having interceptions, fumbles, negative plays, that's the biggest thing. A lot of times throughout the season we've always shot ourselves in the foot, and we didn't do that towards the end of the game, so we just got to build off that.
When you guys go to Temple, obviously, like, they can't, the defense can't sub out, so I would imagine it simplifies it for you a bit. Is that true?
It doesn't simplify it for me. It's just something that I've done my whole career at every stop. I lived by tempo. It's something that has got me to where I am. So it's just another way I know how to play football. So I think it just helps us in all, as an offense.
And with that tempo, it creates a sense of urgency. Is that something that you experience as opposed to, like, the same calm player that you always are?
It does, especially from a defense standpoint. Them not really knowing, you know, what we're in, us trying to see if we can get the perfect play in a look if we can. Then it's just also something that I think we're real good at, something that, you know, we're going to get into more, you know, as the season goes, but we also got to be productive out of it as well.
You said you'd live in it if you could, but that's not real football. How much more of it do you think there could be for it still to be real football?
Just after whether it's a big play, or if in my mind I would want to do it after a negative play. Flush it, get on the ball, let's go fast, see if we can steal one from the defense. But it's all about situational as well. If we're backed up, if we're past the 50 or not. So a lot goes into it.
When you watch the writers on film, and I guess Crosby especially.
Say that again?
What do you see when you watch the writers on film, and what are your thoughts maybe on Crosby, especially just how he disrupts games?
Powerful player. From getting off the snap, each and every down, he's a disruptive. And he's somebody that, you know, that you want to go against. He's one of the best defensive linemen out there. And it's going to be fun to go against him. Bro, what's wrong with you, dog?
Like, Cam, I know you have confidence in your offensive line all the time, but how big were they in that fourth quarter the other day, just allowing you enough time to get those, push the ball down the field, get those big plays down the rim?
I think that was why we were able to win the game. Both sides of the ball, the O-line, D-line, those guys, they worked hard all week, and that's one of the hardest positions to play in the NFL. And those guys, they kept me clean for the entire part of the game. And I just think that's only just a start for those guys. Us finally, you know, getting a chance to communicate at a high level. That was one of our first games, not really having no communication issues. And then I think just throughout the future, we're going to be able to play faster.
If JC's back in the mix now, how much even better can that get?
Oh, that's going to be real good. Just from a athletic standpoint, he's just different. The way he moves, the way he takes care of his body, he's a great leader on this team. He's someone who's a standpoint offensive line. So, you know, we get a chance to get him back, he's going to be able to help us for sure.
When you and Callie talk about focus on keeping your eyes where they need to be, and you also talk a lot about taking what the defense gives you, how often are those the same thing? Like, are your eyes where they need to be if you're taking what the defense gives you? How does that work together?
It works together really a lot of times, depending whatever the play call is or what type of situation it is. Then a lot of times it could be reactionary to where the ball should go, but sometimes in the game it don't happen like that. So really just got to be able to see and find it.
Does one come above the other? Is it more important to take what the defense gives you, or is it more important to keep your eyes where they're supposed to be?
No, I think it's more important to complete the football and move the chains. So I'll say both, honestly.
How important was it to get the tight ends involved, too,
honestly?
The tight end involvement on Sunday with Chig and Gunner, getting them involved offensively, too.
Real, I would say, especially from I think I haven't gave them enough chances this year, which I did this past week. And they seen what they can do, especially after the run, getting us those yak yards. So we got a very talented group of, you know, tight ends, but we just got to continue to feed them, continue to get them more involved, and it's going to continue to help us.
Gunner has said that, you know, that throw to him that you had the 19-yarder that set up the touchdown, he said that was something you saw Seattle do against the Cardinals. How does that process work for you, like where you see something and then you work to get it implemented into the game plan?
Yeah. That's what I think the best thing about just myself and the offensive staff is that we really see the same stuff on the field, even in the film room. So a lot of stuff that I think they are already thinking as well. And then I just think it's just really me and Gunner just knowing what, you know, we're both good at, type of throws I'm good at making and what type of routes he's good at running. His catch rate is you know, ridiculous for his size. And so, you know, it's good to get him the ball, but we're going to continue to do it.
Cam, one thing you told us a couple of weeks ago was that you knew this thing would work because when you went back and watched the film, you'd see this guy was open, or if this had been done, this would have been a big play and things like that. Did you ever get frustrated with yourself or the process while you were, while the team was struggling as bad as it was?
Yeah, a lot too, because a lot of stuff is stuff that I can control from a where the ball should go every play. Then also some of the reaction stuff in the pocket, I didn't need to do as much movements, especially early in the season. So I think it's just stuff I'm getting better at just day in, day out in every game I play. But it's something that, you know, I got to get better at fast and, you know, keep on being consistent at it.
Appreciate you. Thanks.
That is Cam Moore, Titans quarterback, addressing the media after practice today. You can just tell even with him after a win, a little more laid back. You certainly can feel that. We'll react to some of the things he had to say coming up next. Adam Vingan is going to join at the end, and he's going to be our celebrity birthdays anchor today, so you and I can continue our competition. That's all coming up here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
When you guys go to tempo, obviously, like, they can't, the defense can't sub out, so I would imagine it simplifies it for you a bit. Is that true?
It doesn't simplify it for me. It's just something that I've done my whole career at every stop. I live by tempo. It's something that has got me to where I am. So it's just another way I know how to play football. So I think it just helps us in all, as an offense.
And with that tempo, it creates a sense of urgency. Is that something that you experience as opposed to, like, the same calm player that you always are?
It does, especially from a defense standpoint. Them not really knowing, you know, what we're in. Us trying to see if we can get the perfect play in a look if we can. Then it's just also something that I think we're real good at. Something that, you know, we're going to get into more, you know, as the season goes. But we also got to be productive out of it as well.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Wednesday. I always like this song. Dr. Crane likes it back there too. That was Cam Ward, though, on the tempo. And look, I want to see them use more tempo. That should be the the plan. If they can just get some of these little things figured out, go in more tempo, and I think that's his game. That is the type of quarterback you saw at Miami, at Washington State, Incarnate Word. And if you can do that, then you could start to get things going. But the little things have to work first. That's kind of been the issue.
Yeah, and I mean, I think PK followed up after all that. Was like, you can't live in the tempo, and you know,
yeah.
When you can't do all that, obviously it's joking decides to matter. But Cam Ward can kind of live in the tempo a little bit. If it's me, I mean,
yeah.
I think whatever got him here, which was the tempo, if he can live through that, I think he can get him further in his NFL career.
So TD posted a video of, you know, there was a point in Cam Ward's press conference when he was like, "What's wrong with you, dog?" or something like that. That was Xavier Restrepo walking up and I guess trying to ask a question in camp or in the press conference.
There's something there.
I know you're gonna. I think by the end of the year you're gonna see it.
Yeah, probably around week 12, week 13.
Yeah, it'll be towards the end of the year. You asked me something earlier though about Callahan and, you know, what he needs to do to save his job. I mean, winning is going to do that. I said even before the season that if the team is showing signs of improvement and Ward is showing signs of development, that's going to factor in too. To this point, I haven't seen enough of that to justify, even with the losses, for him to be back. But yeah, if they string two together, last week and this week, if they beat Vrabel, now that might do it. but if they beat Vrabel or they're respectable against Vrabel, then that can't hurt. I'm still not. I still think he could get fired this season. You know, I'm not ready to say after one, dare I say, fluky win, a win's a win, but, you know, I'm not ready to say he saved his job.
Yeah, just the question dawned on me because Joe a couple days ago was like, "Oh, the hot seat's kind of cooled off a little bit." About
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think a win helps and delays the inevitable, but no, I don't think it's – I think it's still pretty hot.
Okay, so if they turn out to win seven games this year, which is a stretch, that – to you is still
which is what I originally had them at, but right. I also had those coming second half of the season, and I also said I wouldn't be shocked if there was an interim. So, but look, anything can happen, but I got to see a lot of different things for me to say that, okay, yep, that's the way it's going to go. I mean, you're at Vegas, then you got New England, at Indy. Indy's really good. Chargers, I think that record doesn't show the whole story, but they're beat up. So, potentially. Then you got the off week. Houston comes here. Seattle comes here. Jacksonville here. You go to Cleveland. You go to San Francisco. Kansas City, New Orleans all here. And then at Jacksonville. And Jacksonville, I think, is showing us that they're the best team in the division.
Yeah, absolutely. Jacksonville's
on. And maybe a legit contender in the AFC.
I'd agree to that. I don't know. I'm in the camp of Indianapolis, then Jacksonville, and then that's where everything else trickles down.
See, I think Jacksonville's better than Indy. I'm not completely sold on Indy yet, and maybe I should be, but I don't think I'm the only one that feels that way. Like the teams that I can sit here and tell you that I legit think are good, Buffalo, Jacksonville's working their way to it. The AFC West, I don't really say anybody right now. Philly, Detroit, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, San Francisco. I mean, San Francisco is doing it with a bunch of injuries too.
Yeah, I'm trying to wrap my head around San Francisco's roster right now. Yeah, you're right. They have a lot of guys injured.
I will say, I'll put an asterisk next to San Francisco. They might not have been exposed yet, but so far they look pretty good.
Yeah, squeaking out that win over the Rams last Thursday night, I think that kind of gave them a little extra street cred in some aspects.
Yeah, but I mean, and look, Washington's been interesting, you know, with Mariota. I mean, who knows with them? And who knows, like Dallas. I don't know what Dallas is right now. You know, the Giants I don't think are very good. But then in the AFC, like the West, the Chargers and Broncos, I think you can say are decent and somebody's going to win that division. And then Kansas City's Kansas City. The Raiders, unfortunately, are not what I was hoping they were going to be. I thought they'd be better. They're not.
Yeah, I think the whole Brock Bowers injury that kind of hurt them in the first week, it just kind of started to trickle down to the rest of the roster in a roundabout way.
AFC North, I'm still not sold on Pittsburgh yet. Maybe Baltimore wakes up and remembers who they are, but I think this just could be a bad year for them. And then if Cincinnati can, you know, if Flacco's the answer to help them survive, then we'll see.
Could you imagine if he beat the Packers twice?
The Packers? You mean the
Flacco? Yeah, he's taking on the Packers this weekend.
Oh, Cincinnati. That's right. Yeah, you're right. That's right. He is playing them twice. Do we know for sure he's going to start? I would assume.
I'd assume he would. I've seen some stuff online saying that it'd be a toss up if he kind of knows the playbook, but he's a vet. I mean, he's got it down.
So he'll, if he does start, or when he starts for Cincinnati, he'll be the first quarterback to start for three of the four AFC North teams, which is pretty crazy.
What's that NFL score? Not Scoregami. It's that I use it. It's called MLB Pickle, where you can kind of guess the players where they've played.
Oh,
NFL
has that. The Immaculate Grid.
Yeah, Immaculate Grid. He is the champion of the Immaculate Grid.
Oh yeah, he's got a few on there. Latham said. Well, I can't hear what the video is, but I guess he's crossing the pain threshold to return to the field. So,
see, for me, that's concerning. Don't put him out there.
Yeah. Well, I want to hear the whole clip. But coming up next, Adam Vingan's going to join, and we will do What Day Is It? And Celebrity Birthdays. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Wednesday. And coming up today from 5 until 7, the Nashville Predators season preview show, which will be Max Herz, Willie Donick, and Adam Vingan, who has joined us in studio. Andrew Brunette going to join you guys at 5:15.
Indeed. Hal Gill will join us. Pete Weber will join us. A lot to discuss with the Predator season opening tomorrow evening at Bridgestone Arena against the Columbus Blue Jackets. So a shortened version of DVD today from 3 to 5, Preds preview show from 5 to 7.
I had a really good conversation with Roman Yossi today that you can check out on the podcast as well. I don't know if you've seen, and you've been to more practices than I have, but I said this to him, he seems relaxed, like in a good way. Like he's out there playing like Roman Yossi we've seen.
Well, he has some clarity on his health, right?
Yeah.
With the POTS diagnosis, so I'm sure that's comforting for him. But if the Predators are going to bounce back from last season's disastrous result, he's going to have to play a big part in that.
100%. With that, let's get to What Day Is It? And Celebrity Birthdays.
I keep forgetting. Sorry.
I know. It's okay.
First on the list we have, it says, don't want the pop-up. Oh, okay. This is not. I don't want to download these games. Okay. Alvin C. York Day is today, so you have that. Emergency Nurses Day. American Touch Tag Day. You know, Adam likes a good game of tag. International Off-Road Day is today. International Top Spinning Day. Oh, I remember playing with those. Latina Women's Equal Pay Day, so shout out to the Latinas. National Bring Your Teddy Bear to Work in School Day. Adam has a few of those. National Curves Day. Yeah. National Curves Day. Everybody's got some curves.
I like those.
Let's see. National Hero Day.
I'm not speaking on this segment anymore.
National Pet Obesity Awareness Day. National Pierogi Day. National Salmon Day. National Stop Bullying Day. Stop America's Violence Everywhere Day. World Octopus Day. And last but not least, especially, World Fluffernutter Day.
Just to be clear, you did say shout out to Latinas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, why?
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure I heard that correctly.
Yeah. They're people too.
Of course they are.
We know. Yeah.
Nope. Yes. Okay.
With that, let's get to celebrity birthdays.
All right. So I
am
I am the moderator. So the rules, you have to get these within two.
And if you get it spot on, it's 2 points.
Correct. Let's start with Chevy Chase.
Oh.
How old is Chevy Chase today? Chase.
82.
84.
He is indeed 82. Chase is on the board. 2-0. Frazier. actress Sigourney Weaver. How old is Sigourney Weaver today?
67.
That's a good guess. I'm going to say a little older. 72.
She is 76.
Wow.
Bruno Mars. Renaissance man. He can do it all. How old is Bruno Mars today? JC, go first.
Bruno Mars, 38.
41.
He's 40, so who gets that point?
That'd be me.
Him. He's closer.
I'm one closer.
Oh, that's true. Okay, I wasn't sure if his price is right. You can't go over rules. Nope. All right. So Frazier's on the board. It's 2-1. Okay, who went first that time?
I did.
Okay, so Frazier. Matt Damon. How old is Matt Damon today?
He's got to be in his like late 50s, right? Let's go 58.
That's a really good guess. 57.
He is 55. Chase is up 3-1. Chase, Saturday Night Live alum Daryl Hammond. How old is Daryl Hammond today?
52.
57.
70.
Oh, a little off there.
Nick Cannon, who has lots of different kids with lots of different women. Frazier, how old is Nick Cannon today?
I believe it's like 15 kids is the count.
Up there.
I'm going to go.
Maybe with some Latinas. Who knows?
You never know. I'm going to go 49.
42.
He is 45. C.J. Ramone of the Ramones. Chase, how old is C.J. Ramone today?
64.
68.
He is 60. All right. Dang. Four sports birthdays. Chase is up 3-1. Who goes first this time?
Let Nick go.
Okay, Nick. How old is motocross legend Travis Pastrana? I believe he's a motocross legend.
That is true.
Travis Pastrana is 52.
47.
He is 42. Chase, how old is WWE Grand Slam champion, I believe two times over, Mike the Miz Mizanin today?
43.
41.
He is 45. Okay, Chase is up 4-1. Three more, or actually two more. Frazier, how old is NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace?
30.
Daryl is 31.
He is 32. So Chase is up to 5-1. So Chase is going to win, but we have one more for you, the most important of all. 2015 national champion, former member of the Duke Blue Devils. Sorry, Connor Newt. How old is Grayson Allen today?
Oh. Is who's first?
Me? You.
Grayson Allen, 2015, 32.
34.
He is 30. Chase wins 6-1 today.
Boom. So what can we expect coming up in just a few minutes on DVD?
So I've been seeing a lot of quarterback analysts just lavishing praise on Cam Ward. And Dan Orlovsky pointed out six plays that he thinks highlights against the Cardinals, I should say.
Yeah.
Six plays against the Cardinals that he thinks highlights just how good Cam Ward has been despite everything going on around him. So I want to know if Derek Mason feels the same way. So I gave Derek Mason the homework assignment to watch those six plays. Derek did extra credit. He found other plays that I didn't even ask him to watch. But I want to know if Derek agrees with Dan Orlovsky's assessment of Cam Ward's performance in Arizona.
Okay. I'll look forward to listening to that. That is coming up next. And as we end the show, always, look, guys, if you're struggling out there, we want you here. You can talk to us. You can talk to someone. Call 988 on your cell phone. You can go to thegamenashville.com. Go to the Chase and Big Joe show page and find the link to Unity Psych. It's just getting out there and talking to someone. That's what we tell you every day. And we obviously want you here. And as Joe always says, not only do we love you, but God loves you as well. That is going to do it for us. Peace, love, rock and roll, DVD. Coming up next, 102.5 The Game.